I think, often show more enthusiasm for Allah than we Christians do for the Lord Jesus. And again, I wonder what visitors would say if they came here on any given Sunday. What would they say about us? And you parents, are your children stirred up about the gospel when they see your excitement about Jesus? Are they stirred up to go to church because for you, that's the most important thing you can do? And I'll say this about my folks. They were always excited to go to church. And sometimes when my brothers and I didn't want to go, my dad did not listen to any excuses. This is important. I still hear him saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." So we smiled and we went to church. Well, I learned something from my father and mother. How excited I should also be and stirred up a little bit like they were about the gospel. Maybe you need to be stirred up a little bit too, huh? His death and resurrection, I think, should stir all of us up to a much greater, deeper faith and confidence in Jesus as our Savior. As the Scripture assures us, Christ was delivered over for our transgressions, of which we have many transgressions. We break God's law again and again and again and again. He was delivered over for all our transgressions and raised again for our justification. Justification, that's a legal term. You have been declared not guilty. The entire world has. You don't have to do anything, pay anything. The verdict is in already. God, in raising His Son, has declared the entire world not guilty. It's interesting, in St. Matthew, at least it was to me, he uses the word shake up or stirred up three times in his gospel. And it's at the end of the gospel. Pastor Johnson pointed it out to me before the service. Three great events in Jesus' life, the climax of his whole ministry. It occurs on Palm Sunday, the text we're reading today, how the city was stirred up when Jesus came. It occurs at Jesus' crucifixion, when the rocks and the earth shook and was stirred up at the death of Jesus, when the veil was ripped in two. And can you guess the third time the word occurs? On Easter morning, when the graves shook again and the soldiers who were guarding the grave became like dead men, and they trembled and they stirred up like dead men. His death and His resurrection stirred up God's compassion and love for each one of us too. It stirred up His sense of justice so that for Jesus' sake, God could legitimately pardon the entire world of our debt and sin. And every Sunday, we say that in regular liturgy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then the congregation answers, "Well, what do you answer?" He is faithful and just. There you go. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful, just. He will do what is right because the price has been paid. The psalmist writes, "God, being compassionate, has paid for His people's iniquity. He has not destroyed them. He has restrained His anger often. He has not stirred up His wrath," which He should, but He hasn't. Jesus comes riding into our midst like He rode into Jerusalem every Sunday, doesn't He? Right here in this sacrament. As He comes, not riding on the back of a donkey anymore, but hidden in the bread and the wine, as He comes to us to feed us with His own body and blood, to assure us of our forgiveness, our salvation, and our place in the heavenly kingdom. And here, in the Lord's Supper, He seeks to stir us up a little bit as He puts in your mouth and mine, which may have sworn at somebody during the week, which may have said a nasty word or told a dirty joke or gotten angry with your wife or your spouse or screamed at your parents, and He's willing to put His body on that tongue and pour His blood down your throat to assure you that He has paid your debt, and your debt, however great it might be, is wiped out. You are forgiven. And when we hear that good news, we can't help it. At least liturgically, we are forced to do it. As the organ comes up and the building starts to tremble a little bit, and we sing out what the pilgrims sang there in Jerusalem. "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Does that stir you up at all? For crying out loud, what does it take to stir us up about Jesus? Knowledge of your sin? Your disappointment about a life that you have not lived the way you thought you should? Maybe you're frightened about His anger a little bit. Maybe the threat of judgment day or hell, or maybe your concern or fear about your own death. maybe depression or guilt over things you've said to hurt somebody. You can't go back and re-say it or redo it. Should not Jesus' gracious words stir you up a little bit when he says to you, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world? I want to stir you up, Jesus says, to love me, to grow in knowledge of my word and my gracious gospel, to stir you up with an enthusiasm, to pray with the early Christians as you think about Judgment Day, even so quickly come, Lord Jesus. And so in this morning's appointed collect, we pray, stir up your power, O Lord. Bad thing to pray if you don't know the gospel. Who wants to stir up God's power unless you know already that his power is stirred up for your salvation? Stir up your power, O Lord, and come to us in your Holy Supper, that we, often being so lethargic and apathetic, might be stirred up to join the throngs and shout with them, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes to us, to me, to you, this morning, in the name of the Lord. Or as we will now sing in that great offertory hymn by King David, restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. Would you please join me in singing the offertory, page 192, the words of Psalm 51, please rise.